Welcome to Coffee and Divination, a podcast about the arts of obtaining hidden knowledge in changing times. Join me, Joanna Farrar, to chat with experts from around the world on tarot, runes, geomancy, and the many ways divination can help us navigate and plan our paths ahead. So thank you for joining us, and I'm very happy to once again introduce returning guest, Brittany Goss. Brittany is a professional astrologer and friend of this podcast here. She is a coach and astrologer based in Southern Vermont, and she's also a second degree member of my coven, the North Wildwood Coven. Her website is rebelastrology.net, and I definitely highly recommend her work. We'll talk a little bit about what she has coming up at the end of the podcast, but for now, we are here to talk, as we usually do, about the next 5 to 6 months of life and the world and the stars. So I am very happy to have you here, Brittany, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me again. I look forward to these.
As do I, and I know many other people do as well. As I was fielding some questions about when this interview was happening, because we were slightly delayed from when we usually release this, but I think now we still have plenty to talk about, even though it's the middle of July right now. So yeah. How do you want to start? Do you want to start by looking back a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with like just a little bit of review of like what's happening in 2022, because the second half is, you know, it's a continuation of what we talked about in the first interview this year. So, you know, some of the major theme happening this year is the United States Pluto return. I think that's a very big deal. It is a very big deal because it's such a national cosmic event, and like other nations have had these, right? But this is ours, our first, and the first sort of exact date was February 20th. And then we just had July 12th. So there's a lot to talk about there. And then the third one will be December 27th. And it's such a long-term, like slow moving planet, long-term transits, that those exact dates are not like the only times when something's happening, but they're just like flashpoints of important things happening. So I was looking at, you know, Russia invading Ukraine, February 24th, that was the time of the US Pluto return, and the Jupiter Neptune conjunction was also beginning to get closer then. And then June 24th, the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. And so these aren't like the exact dates that the US Pluto return was happening, but as Pluto got closer to that point, big things occurred. And so we can expect more of that, you know, leading up to December of this year, and just all year long, really. We're going through this major transformation as a nation. We're really questioning where we've been, reckoning with our past, and figuring out some new things, because Pluto will go into Aquarius next year in March. And that's a major transit, because Pluto has been in Capricorn since 2008. So going into Aquarius next year in March 2023, and staying there until early June, I think. And then 2024 will be the longer term, but we'll get like this preview of what Pluto and Aquarius might be like. And hopefully it's like a larger revolution on a scale that offers more equality to the common people. You know, hopefully it's a positive move away from some of the things we've had to reckon with in our past, and with systems and structures of power that are kind of crumbling or transforming now at the last degrees of Pluto and Capricorn, and moving into this Aquarian time of Pluto and Aquarius, where we're really transforming structures in a new and hopefully better way for the future. But like, this is kind of the last year of Pluto and Capricorn, or this 2022 and 2023 are kind of the last years of Pluto and Capricorn. And we're in this, so we're starting to be in this beginning, this ending and beginning stage. So I think that's a really important way to frame 2022 as a whole before we get into the last half. And the other thing I would say to frame 2022 in general is that Saturn and Uranus are still close enough in square that it still feels like 2021, which you may have felt a little bit. You know, like I go to the grocery store and some people, a few people are wearing masks, some people aren't. There are times when like more people are wearing masks and then they're not anymore. Like there's still like this very push and pull aspect to how people are reacting to COVID and dealing with it. And then also just in general, the way things are shifting and changing with inflation and jobs and the economy, and where still navigating these major changes that happened in 2020. And so there's still this kind of red light, green light effect where it's like stop and go, or you want things to move forward faster, but then you have to wait, or you have to go back and do something differently. So between the Pluto return and the Saturn Uranus square that's still in play, 2022 is still very much a year of endings and restructuring. Before we get to more of the years of like what is new or how we're really transforming, we're still kind of ending things.
Yes. And just to kind of take a step back to talk about Pluto for a moment, just for those who may be listening who are a little bit, because I know we in the previous interview, we did talk more about the Pluto return for the US and what that means. But can you just, for people just to have a wider context, how is its influence really predominantly felt? Because you've talked about it, you know, meaning that old structures are crumbling, but it's, what is like Pluto's role really in this, or how do you view Pluto?
Pluto, I mean, if you think of, you know, Pluto as Lord of the Underworld, Pluto rules, Pluto is very powerful, right? And rules the underworld, but also rules all of the wealth of the underground, or the wealth of the underworld as well. And so Pluto transits often correspond to questions of or events regarding wealth. And Pluto also is really a, because of the association with death, there's an association with transformation. And transformation, not just like in the sense of like, oh, look, a beautiful butterfly, but the whole death ending, squishy, gooey caterpillar part of that until like the butterfly part, right? So Pluto is really this squishy, gooey caterpillar part. Pluto doesn't really do like a whole lot with butterflies when it transits things. It's more the endings and bringing up all of the truth of a situation, the icky, gooey, shadowy truth. And so that's like, we're in the icky, gooey, shadowy truth of 2022 right now.
Yeah, which does make sense, and kind of like think is where our if we're kind of US centric right now. Both of us are in Vermont, so I guess we're Vermont centric if we want to be really specific. But particularly, we have people who listen all around the world. But I think, you know, the US is still such a major player in world events that it makes sense to be talking about this a lot anyway. But I mean, it looks at what the past, like the deeper, and as you're saying, sometimes the darker elements of our past sort of have to say when they're brought into the fore, and we have to look at that, which is sometimes, I guess, not so pleasant. But hopefully, as you were saying, it will have more of an opening up, it sounds like, when Pluto moves into Aquarius. Is that kind of the feel?
Or that's the hope for that transit, is that Capricorn is like the crumbling of old power structures that were, the Capricorn's very traditional. Aquarius, though it's also a Saturn ruled sign, so it shares some things with Capricorn, is more forward thinking. And so maybe we get more of the transformation part of things after the endings with Pluto moving from Capricorn into Aquarius. Sure. Although it's a very long term transit, so we're going to look at a lot of things happening when we get there. Yeah, it is very U.S. centric. I mean, the U.S. is such a major world power player that you can't not ignore it, especially this year. So I have to talk about it. But even things like talking about Russia invading Ukraine, it's like how the U.S. reacts, the price of oil and gas going up, like all of these things that are in play. Like, I didn't look at Russia's chart or anything about the nation of Russia or the nation of Ukraine, but you can see that for different reasons, that event seems to be significant to the United States.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And to our transformation as a nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any other dates in the last 6 months that you wanted to go over from what you said, or do you want to start looking?
No, I kind of wanted to frame that in general, but I didn't really go back in detail to look at dates. I looked more forward.
And I
continue looking forward.
We more want to put our thoughts there anyway. So yeah. That's good. So we are in July. Yeah. Where shall we go from here?
Yes. We are in July. Uranus is close to the North Node in Taurus, July 26th. We just had this major super full moon in Capricorn that kind of highlighted Pluto on the 13th of July, and highlighted like the Uranus in Taurus transit that is sort of shaking things up on a material level, the material world, economics, business, the way we relate to our bodies, like health, the earth, like it's all just very in flux and kind of volatile right now, or there's a lot of like potential for a lot of new interesting genius things to happen with Uranus and Taurus, but it's very surprising. So we had a super full moon in Capricorn, which I just noticed personally was bringing up a lot of energies for different people. It was a pretty powerful super moon. And then we have Uranus actually, it's very close to the North Node in Taurus now, but conjunct the North Node in Taurus July 26th. And Mars is also close to that. So that would be like a flashpoint, I think, for the Uranus and Taurus transit, that is that volatility. Okay, that volatility is in play in July. But then you also have like Venus going into Cancer, and, you know, Mercury in Leo is fun. Like there's some nice things happening in July that make it like not as much of a huge month. But that Pluto return, that Uranus and Taurus, like those are the bigger things happening behind the scenes of our lives. Like those are the more kind of national or collective transits that you notice. But I think personally with like Venus and Cancer and like Leo season, like if you want to do any kind of like magic with the sun, when the sun goes into Leo, July 22nd through August 22nd, like with Venus and Cancer in that sign where she is very like nurturing and emotionally available, and there's a lot of like fertility and motherhood kind of tones of that. July has some nice tones as well as being a month that is like that big national flashpoint that we just saw. And then in August, that's when Saturn and Uranus get closer. So for the rest of the year, we really have that Saturn-Uranus square that was major for 2021, that red light, green light aspect, as I'm calling it, in more in play for the fall. And so that starts like August, I'd say August 11th is when they would get within like a 4-degree orb, and then they just get closer and closer through December. So we've got more of that, you know, Saturn being the planet of restriction and serious rules and keeping things organized, and Uranus being the planet that is the exact opposite of that, wanting to blow everything up, be a total renegade, like just throw a surprise in there. And they're in interesting signs. They're kind of, you know, Uranus and Taurus can't operate as well. Saturn in Aquarius is actually building things for the future, thinking more forward in terms of the structures that it's creating. But like, it's just a strange pairing. It's a strange marriage of planets. And so they conflict with each other. And that conflict is going to have us kind of stopping and starting in this fall, starting kind of in August. So I would enjoy some of the nicer aspects of July, some of the nicer aspects of being in Leo season. Mercury will be in Virgo in August. So that's a nice time to work with Mercury in the sign of rulership and exaltation, August 4th through August 25th. You know, and really kind of, I would say with Mercury in Virgo, you know, having fun in Leo season and just like taking a break in summer is always advised, but like Mercury in Virgo, just kind of like putting your thoughts together, really seeing how things are, really discerning what's important to you and what is just not as important for this fall. Because I think there's going to be, if you're trying to move forward fast this fall, there's probably going to be some frustration as Mars goes into Gemini and then goes retrograde later. And with the Saturn Uranus square. So I would say, like, how can Mercury and Virgo help you continue to stay flexible, continue to stay agile through this period? And how can you discern like what your real priorities are in August? Because Mercury and Virgo is very smart and very keen. And I think that can help us sort of sort things out.
And you said that was August 4th to the 25th. Was that what the dates were?
Yeah, that's when Mercury's in Virgo.
Okay, yeah, that's excellent. And there is that clearly shows that there's that tiny window of, you know, August 4th through the 11th. That's is before you mentioned that the Saturn Uranus square gets bad. So I'd be like, ooh, we have a nice little window right at the beginning of August.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Saturn Uranus square, I would think of that as being like an all year thing. It just gets does start to get more intense.
It gets more serious. Goes
on. Yeah, exactly. And that's just the beginning of it too. So I would say August, you know, that's just the beginning of it starting to get more serious. You also have Mars and Taurus kind of activating that Uranus-Saturn square. So it's just kind of, it's activated. It's happening again. It's still happening, I guess is all you can really say about that. And we've learned how to navigate it pretty well so far, I think.
I think one thing before we go any further, just because we've mentioned like Uranus and Taurus and the, well, for example, the Pluto return as it relates, well, in this case, I think we'll keep it to the Uranus in Taurus thing, where we've mentioned that in the context of larger scale things. But are there ways that may show up in people's personal lives that you think people should be aware of? Or even if you just give us some examples of like something to keep in mind, or are those types of square really something where it's like, no, it's just the bigger picture, you know, more mundane astrology as opposed to a person's influence in their lives?
No, I mean, all mundane astrology has layers of, like, if you think of like circles, you know, layering in on each other to smaller and smaller circles, like the outer circle is the collective, right? But then you can get to a closer personal level. And that really depends on somebody's chart a lot of the time. Like if they have something, let's say at 24 degrees of fixed signs, like Aquarius and Taurus, they're really going to feel this year more in the later degrees of those signs. But anyone is going to be experiencing that Saturn Aquarius transit, that Uranus and Taurus transit somewhere in their chart. And I think the tension between them, that's that red light, green light tension I'm talking about, affects people's personal lives very much. Yeah. I mean, you could just see all the personal lives affected by people who decided their jobs weren't worth the stress, or like they wanted to move to Southern Vermont from Brooklyn and work remotely or whatever it was, you know, like those big changes that were made kind of suddenly. Now we're restructuring, like what should my life look like now that I'm doing this, you know?
Yeah. I think that's an important point for people to keep in mind. Cause I've heard some discussions of astrology where it just becomes about what's happening to the country, which is great and very important for planning, but we also then need to be thinking in the smaller terms as well of like looking at the influences that we are feeling in our own families or our own communities that may not be quite as dramatic. I mean, hopefully, unless they're very good things, they're not as dramatic, but they're still the same pull, the circles, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I think it's really like the Uranus-Saturn square there, like they're all, both of those planets are always going to be somewhere, right? Like doing something in your chart. But the fact that they're squaring each other and that it's been such a big part of this change in our lives, it's like this aspect of creating anti-fragility. You know, like Nassim Taleb, I can't remember the name of the author exactly. Yeah. I believe who wrote about anti-fragility. You know, to be robust is to like survive a shock impact. And Uranus would be the shock impact in this metaphor. To be antifragile is to actually get better from it. So you want to not just be robust during this period. You want to create structures for your life that are actually antifragile, so that if something happens that you didn't expect, you can actually grow from that and make things better rather than simply repairing what happened and continuing to be robust.
That's a beautiful way of putting it. Yeah.
So you really want to create some optionality, some different options for yourself. And magic is wonderful for that, right? We create different options. We open different roads. We receive things we didn't expect in good ways too. So it's like you're building these structures, but you have to keep in mind that Uranus may send a shockwave through them at some point, and you don't know where it's going to come from exactly. And you probably won't be able to predict exactly what it is.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's very, very important. It's a great way of looking at it as well. So we have gotten to August, and we were talking about Mercury in Virgo, and then looking further into the fall about how things will perhaps be a little harder or move a little slower or have some unexpected shocks as we get a little further on. Would that be sort of accurate?
Expect some unexpected delays. Some unexpected shocks this fall, because you've got the aspects for kind of potential frustration if you didn't know that was coming, or if you didn't know how to prepare for it or deal with it well, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, those shocks can move us forward too. Like you didn't necessarily expect to leave New York in 2020, but the shocks happened and here we are. And it's not a bad thing. So you can create good things out of these unexpected occurrences. In September, we have Mercury retrograde going from September 10th at 8 degrees of Libra to 24 degrees in Virgo, October 2nd. So all year we have these Mercury retrogrades. We've had them moving from air signs to earth signs. And I'm thinking of this personally as, and like with my clients, as kind of marrying the marriage of the mind and the body, because we so frequently separate the two in this Cartesian way in our culture, that people kind of live up in their heads, like we don't really know how to relate to the body, or we think of them as separate things. My body just does things for me. I fuel it with food, and like it's not really connected to the way I think, but that's not really true, right? We know this, that it's all the mind-body-spirit connection. So these are opportunities when we go through these Mercury retrogrades to connect mind-body-spirit more mindfully. And I think with the Mercury in Libra going into Virgo, like very connected with like how I'm thinking about food and eating and digestion and how my body is actually doing with that. So there's like a health aspect to the Virgo influence on that. And then also just like, how are my relationships, because Libra is all about relationships, affecting my health and body? You know, where are my relationships interacting with the way I feel in my body, or how do I feel in my body when I'm with this person? And just being more mindful about connecting those things, because I really think Mercury retrograde periods, though they inspire so much frustration and fear and annoyance, they can be inconvenient. They can be really inconvenient, but they're not that like terrible. And a lot of the time, the best way to use them is to use them for reflection of some kind, or to have some kind of project that is retrograde-grady that you can go back to and integrate, as it's kind of a period of integration after all of this forward movement and this learning. Go back to and integrate the learnings during that 3 weeks so that you actually come out of it like more rested with some kind of insight or something revealed to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's a very good point, because it is interesting that there's so much fuss made of Mercury retrogrades, when I know we've talked in previous conversations about how often they happen. And as you're mentioning, there are they can be very annoying when they cause your computer to need to.
Totally. Yeah.
Spill soup on your computer or something silly. No, not like I would do that. I absolutely did that. But, you know, like that's inconvenient. That is not something that is what I want to have happen on a regular basis. But there are periods where that then causes, you can look at it as a period of reflection or something like that. Can you give us maybe another example of something where you would think of a way that people could think of a project that would be appropriate for Mercury retrograde time, or some other type of example, just to give people something to think with outside of my spilling soup on your computer example?
Yeah. And I mean, like, pre-Mercury retrograde, backing up your computer, you know, not buying new technology during that retrograde if you can help it. Those are all like helpful ways of avoiding the inconvenience, moving your soup away from your computer. But like, yes. you know, sometimes these things just happen and it's life. Things that you can do to kind of be proactive about Mercury retrograde periods. I like to have work that I want to go back to or revise, as a writer anyway. And so that's always a good project for a Mercury retrograde period, returning to old books that you haven't read before, places that you used to visit. You find people coming back into your life in unexpected ways, maybe being mindful about who that is and what they're looking for and how you want to be in relationship with them this time. You can be mindful about communication, because miscommunications can be inconvenient, but I think the projects are more like introspective. It's a spiritual thing you want to do for 3 weeks. Maybe it's like a manifestation thing you want to do for 3 weeks and really focus on, or like a meditation practice, or something that you're relearning because you used to be interested in it, or just letting the Mercury retrograde tell you like what's going to come up and be revealed to you, and what, letting it draw you into something that is interesting now.
Yeah.
Mercury really is very curious. So no matter what sign Mercury is retrograding through, there's information there. There are questions there to be asked and answers to be sought out.
Mm-hmm. I find myself usually journaling a lot more and going back over past events that have been happening so that I can think through them when it's hopefully a little less busy, and then kind of reflect on what that meaning is. For me, it's journaling. The other suggestions you gave are lovely, and you know, I'm sure will be helpful for people in framing that in a positive light. So we have that from September 10th to October 2nd, you mentioned.
Yeah.
And that will be in which sign?
Sorry?
And the sign that he'll be retrograding?
From Libra into Virgo.
Okay.
Mostly Libra. Mostly Libra. And I'm just going to go back into my chart, if that's okay.
Sure.
But September otherwise is like, seems okay. I mean, despite all the bigger things we were talking about, I don't see major other events in September that are dated sort of flashpoints.
That is excellent. That is an excellent thing to keep in mind then for all of us.
Yeah, I will say that Mars does go into Gemini August 20th. Mars goes into Gemini August 20th, and that kind of starts off, we have this retrograde that starts October 30th. So August 20th is like, it's just Mars just moves into that sign and actually moves away from Uranus and Taurus and the square to Saturn and some of that like more volatile stuff into the sign of Gemini, where Mars is really driven by curiosity, really driven by like, what's interesting? I want variety. I want interesting things to happen. I want interesting people to talk to. That's what Mars in Gemini is about. He's there for like 7 months. So August 20th of 2022, he goes into Gemini. So he'll be there in September. We start the shadow period of the retrograde on September 3rd. That just means that Mars is still direct, but he's going over these degrees that he'll be retrograding back over. So you can get hints of what's to come in the retrograde starting on September 3rd, even though Mars doesn't actually go retrograde until October 30th. Okay, so like September through October, you're getting like a preview of like what might come up for you in your life during that Mars retrograde. What are you getting curious about? What questions are you asking or being asked? What interesting people are you meeting or reconnecting with in some way? During September and October. If you take notes, you know, you may just find that some of those themes come up again during the retrograde. And since Mars is in Gemini for like 7 months, taking notes on what that's like for you could be interesting and could help you with that, you know, more than half a year transit. Because he stays in Gemini through March 25th of 2023, even though the retrograde only lasts like 2.5 months, it means that he's in this sign for a very long time. So that's kind of part of what's happening in September is like, you know, we've got this Mercury retrograde, but Mars is also in Gemini, just like asking the questions, getting us curious, driving us to find answers, driving us to find variety, driving us to be interested in things, recovering maybe some scattered energy and putting that back together, you know, gathering information maybe that we need to have, amplifying the speed of thought. Even though Mercury retrogrades, I find, are like more reflective and introspective, I do a lot of writing during that time, just like you do journals. And, Mars and Gemini can really like speed up the way we're thinking. So you may find that like, not only are you very interested in uncovering information about a particular subject, but like you're very fast at learning it, or you're very fast at whatever you're creating with it. That's part of the flavor of September, I guess. Mars isn't retrograde yet, but he's just moving into that sign and showing us what that kind of transit will be like.
Yeah, and so that would be a good thing to keep an eye on before it becomes the retrograde of later, so that we can, as you mentioned, take notes on how that feels and what that's looking like in our lives.
Yeah, and in some ways, maybe like preempt problems that might happen during Mars retrograde, because you've already been mindful about what you want that to look like or what you are deciding to pursue during that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
that moves us towards that retrograde. And
yes.
Towards the later parts.
Right. In October, we have this nice grand air trine with the Sun and Venus in Libra, and then Saturn in Aquarius and Mars in Gemini, actually from October 14th through 19th, like mid-October. There's kind of this harmonious aspect happening with the grand air trine that is just kind of, I mean, trines are just kind of nice. They just feel good. And even though Saturn and Mars are involved, which some might say makes it not good, I think that it's a really good time to be collecting information about the structures you want to build, particularly in your relationships. It's a really good time to be talking to people about what you want to do together, how you want to create mutual aid, like what your mutual projects are. It's a really good time to just be enjoying relationships too, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is the middle October period is a good time. We've mentioned, it seems a theme actually that we've been talking about, like information gathering, because we had the Gemini, Mars and Gemini just slightly earlier before that. And then we now also then have the Grand Air Trine. So a lot of focus on that. If not in this case, introspection, but still on an information gathering and learning kind of, or project planning kind of emphasis. Would that be kind of fair to say?
I think so. I mean, I think that's also like my personal bias toward how I use astrology for project planning and information gathering, but it also, with all of the air involved, makes sense with the air involved in the Mercury retrogrades and the air involved in Mars and Gemini. And then also Venus is in Libra, September 29th through October 22nd, the sign that she rules, you know, so extremely Venusian, extremely accessible for things like love, relationships, beauty, harmony in general, creating beautiful things, art, social things. And I think like before Mars goes retrograde, these are nice times to be with other people, like especially with the Venus in Libra. I think that really lends like a nice tone to Libra season in general, which is late September through October. And then with that Grand Trine, Air Trine happening, like I think there's just a sense of things being social that you on a personal level, like you can use to enjoy your social life during that time.
Yeah. And that's before things get a little rougher with the Mars retrograde. We have those points to enjoy all of that before that happens. I think that Venus in Libra is an important one to keep in mind as well. I'll definitely be noting that for some things.
I love Venus in Libra. So, you know, I don't personally have that in my chart, but like the Venus in Libra transit can be very kind and very harmonious. So, and a great time to work with Venus if you want to work with Venus as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So that Venus in Libra, the dates for that, just so that I make sure that that's very clear for people, because I sometimes like to hear it again.
September 29th mm-hmm. through October 22nd.
Perfect. So then that leads us to, are there other big things we need to be aware of in October before we move any further?
Yes. We have the partial solar eclipse. We start our eclipse season again. Mm-hmm. This is every 6 months, so it's going to be fine. But this one's in Scorpio, October 25th. So we have a partial eclipse in Scorpio. And then we have, you know, the paired eclipse, the total lunar eclipse is November 8th in Taurus. That one is conjunct Uranus and sort of activates that Saturn-Uranus square more of like surprise. So, you know, this Taurus-Scorpio eclipse cycle, I think we've talked about it before, but it's essentially a cycle of change and transformation, changing old structures that may have previously seemed stable, transforming, you know, making big decisions around that, or creating, as you change things, making it more stable or creating some new kind of stability out of it. So very much how like Saturn-Uranus aspect is, you know, stability and shockwaves and like creating things that are anti-fragile rather than robust, like the Taurus-Scorpio eclipse kind of echoes that emphasis on change, changing things that used to be stable or changing things so that they become more stable for us. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Whoever's listening, like you've already experienced the Scorpio Taurus eclipses, like through 2022, this is more of that. And it just continues moving you on this cycle of change and growth in that particular area of your chart. And then in 2023, we'll also have more Taurus Scorpio eclipses, but we'll start to move into the Aries Libra in 2023. So like you're closing in on the tail end of it. This is like kind of the middle, I think, of that 18 month eclipse cycle. And so you may start to see how those changes are really affecting your life, or how you're choosing to change your life in ways that benefit you based on where that is in your chart and how it affects you. Eclipses are like, they're these big change periods, but like how much a single eclipse affects you really depends on where it is in your chart and what it's touching. And then Jupiter,
no,
go ahead. Jupiter moves back into Pisces October 28th. So we have Jupiter in Aries right now, which is very much like belief in the self, taking initiative, being a leader, good for entrepreneurship, good for optimism. And then Jupiter goes back into the sign, one of the signs he rules, Pisces, October 28th. So if you wanted to do something with Jupiter and Pisces, your last chance is this fall. And Jupiter will be there October 28th through December 19th. If you wanted to do any kind of magic or asking Jupiter for opportunities or something like that, these are good dates, especially when he's direct, which will be November 23rd through December 19th.
So that's very important for people to note, for particularly people here who might be listening who are magically so inclined. That's important to keep in mind. I think I already have that marked in my calendar. So
yeah,
make sure it's circled.
Yeah, because we have to wait 12 years for Jupiter to come back to that sign. So, you know, it's like last call for Jupiter magic in Pisces. Again, those dates are October 28th through December 19th, and Jupiter will be direct in Pisces November 23rd through December 19th.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. And so we've mentioned the eclipse, and we've mentioned now the Jupiter in Pisces, yay, that moment. In November, December, are we going to move to talking about Mars retrograde yet, or do you have other things for us first?
Nope, that was next. Mars stations retrograde in Gemini October 30th.
Right on Samhain, Halloween.
Yes, the Halloween retrograde. But you know, we do get these like every 2 years. Yeah, so like we started 2022 with Venus retrograde, we end 2022 with Mars retrograde. It's kind of this appropriate little match. And, you know, I think the Mars retrograde, it can kind of frustrate action because Mars really likes action. So I said, like, when Mars moves into Gemini, we're gathering information, we're socializing, we're fast. We feel like this drive to satisfy our curiosity. When Mars goes retrograde in Gemini, that action is in some way perhaps frustrated or stifled, or it goes more inward. And Mars retrogrades in general are always a really good time to look at anger, which is not an emotion that we are used to processing in our culture appropriately, but like is really useful information. If we're going to talk about information, your anger tells you where a boundary has been violated. Your anger tells you, you know, where your grief is, where your sadness is. So like really in the internal way that Mars retrograde has us investigate these things, one of the best ways to use it is to really be in touch with when you are feeling frustrated, when you are feeling irritated or angry, like why that might be, or what might be the deeper thing behind that. And then also like finding ways, of course, of releasing that out of your system, releasing old anger, lightning, clearing things, clearing your energy so that you can come out of it more ready for the next phase. But it can be like, you know, curiosity kind of stifled or not being able to get the information you want. It's really the frustration of like boredom, I think, with Gemini. Gemini hates to be bored. And like Mars retrograde is like, oh, I just really want to be able to go here or do this or talk to this person and I'm bored. I don't know if that means that like we're going to be like inside again this fall or, you know, what exactly is going to happen with that. But that's what it feels like. Like that's kind of what these aspects feel like to me, is like October 30th, like beginning of winter, we start to feel again, like more stifled or indoors or something.
Would it be appropriate to say that since Gemini is associated with communication, that then there could be just more anger in our communications with one another, or the danger of that because of the stifling of that in some way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like the ascended master is like investigating the anger and like like alchemizing it and clearing the energy. Most people are not, right? Most people are on social media like yelling at each other. So that's possible. But like, yeah,
but that's a possibility. We try to avoid it.
The metaphor that popped into my mind was angry birds, which I actually think is really apt for Gemini, because Gemini is like air signs and birds, but it's also a game, you know, and Gemini can be associated with children. Mm-hmm. No, like save your eggs from the pigs. Like, don't engage with like the angry birds.
No, I think that's probably a very, very good thing to keep in mind, that like maybe we will feel more temptations to go and do that in ways that are just not going to be healthy, that Mars energy would not be well spent there. So yeah,
you want to like pick your Mars in Gemini project as one that satisfies your curiosity, one where you're gathering information or doing something with your thinking that is like more productive in some way,
which we talked about earlier. Yeah.
And not like getting caught up in this verbal sparring or this collective anger. I really think it's kind of like this, it's year three of this situation that we've been in since 2020, whether, you know, it's pandemic, it's the changing of the world, it's whatever it is. We want to move past this kind of boredom or this feeling of being stuck, or like stalled in some way sometimes, and the anxiety of that as well. And so I think the Mars retrograde kind of like, it bottles up that, or that bottled up tension starts to become really apparent and very tense, possibly, in November. And then we have eclipse season on top of that, you know, so we're in our feels.
Mm-hmm. But luckily, as you mentioned, like that, at least in the beginning of that, we will have the Jupiter in Pisces. So that is nice to sort of cling to and say, well, there are the positives that we can try to leverage, although it's might be a little difficult with what's around it, but it's still, there are those positive things that we can throw our energy at as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, no, the Mars retrograde period, like you don't get to act outwardly as much as maybe you would like to, or in some way, like there's frustration there, but like there is a lot of inward action that can be taken. Mm-hmm. And I always think magicians have an advantage with these so-called like negative transits, because like a lot of the things that retrograde things like Mars and Mercury retrograde, like can be used for like dream work, or, you know, going into the other world, or doing some kind of magic that does this internal alchemy for you. Like you're not limited to outward, external, mundane actions, because you have these other spiritual actions you can take. So I would think of it that way too, like taking action more in the spirit world than in like the mundane world.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's an excellent way of putting it. And that is an advantage of being able to look ahead for these things and plan our magic around it as well. So that takes us into December. Are there other things that we need to be aware of for December?
The only other thing I would say about that I wanted to say is that let things surprise you this fall. Like, don't plan it out so clearly that like you are mad when everything doesn't go according to plan. Like, let yourself have some gaps and some flexibility so that you can allow things to surprise you. And that way you won't be feeling so frustrated if things aren't like all lining up in a row. Got to have some flexibility this fall with whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish.
That is very excellent. And I can hear my husband agreeing with you, because I'm the Aries who is always has like, you know, 20 projects lined up and there are precise deadlines. So, well,
yeah,
we'll leave more flexibility. That's, I completely agree with Uranus and Taurus. There's no way around it. So, and that can be a very beautiful and freeing thing as well. For, like you said, the things that pop up that may move us forward as well. There's ways that can be, you know, very, very healthy for all the systems that we're involved in. Challenging, but ultimately they can be healthy.
Yeah, and I think if what we desire during a Mars retrograde transit or a Mars transit is peace, like, you know, it just gives you more peace to not have a perfect deadline that you have to meet, but to know that like there may be some unexpected things happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's very, very true. So I know that we're not kind of dipping our toes into 2023, but is there any like big picture things that you think people should be aware of looking at? Because we've already mentioned that these are huge cycles that we're talking about. We're talking about from 2020, you know, through now. And I feel like so much of the conversations that people are having do extend, sort of like looking at 2020 as the beginning and kind of extending that, you know, through into the next year, because I don't think anyone thinks that we're going to be through all of this by the time we reach the fall. but you know, some of these bigger patterns, how do you see them continuing or changing just in a broad strokes, you know, as we move into the next year?
I know we forecast like the next 6 months and it's like, we're still in the middle of everything because it's only 6 months. So everything plays out in these sort of longer spiraling cycles. But the 2023 has some moments, you know, Saturn's going to go into Pisces March 7th. Pluto is going to go into Aquarius March 23rd. We'll get a taste of what that transit will look like. Jupiter will go into Taurus, which Jupiter changes signs every year, but we get this Jupiter square Pluto aspect, you know, next May. So like in the spring, we're going to get kind of these previews of what 2024 will look like.
Interesting.
Saturn in Pisces is really testing the waters of intuition and spirituality. It's like, I got this image of like scientists doing tests on psychic phenomena, you know, like actually applying some rigor to what psychic phenomena is and what happens, or how accurate it is. And so like Saturn in Pisces is really testing us on things that we may have intuitively believed or assumed and asking us to provide some kind of rigor there.
Yeah.
And then Pluto and Aquarius, we talked about a little bit, hopefully more equality for the common people, bigger cultural revolution happening there. We'll get into more of that with the 2023 forecast, but those are the big moments happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just good to kind of keep that in mind as we're looking forward to this. So cool. You've touched on a number of important, points and times in this 6 months, the positive areas, like the looking forward to what your Mars and Gemini, you know, project may be. How do you want to see that? How do you want to use that energy in your life so that the retrograde doesn't perhaps hit quite the same way it otherwise might? The Venus in Libra, which was, I think, late September through October. What were some other, there was some other good things in there. I just want to make sure that we highlight some of those again, just as we move towards wrapping up. There was Mars in Gemini. That was the Mars in Gemini, August 20th through September 3rd, correct? Yeah.
Mars is in Gemini, actually, August 20th through like March 25th of next year.
Oh,
but August 20th is when he goes into Gemini. September 3rd is when we start to hit the shadow period of that retrograde.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And that retrograde will be in play through January 13th of 23. So we've got, you know, for the after October 30th, after Samhain, Halloween, like for the rest of the year, that's Mars retrograde. So just keeping that in mind for holiday plans and staying mindful.
And for us to enjoy the July and August times that we have coming up very soon.
The summer, enjoy the Leo season. That was one of the nice times. Sun in Leo, July 22nd through August 22nd. Mercury in Virgo, August 4th through the 25th, you know, and then the Venus in Libra, we mentioned September 29th through October 22nd, and Jupiter going back into Pisces October 28th.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of very nice things.
I didn't actually talk about December. Kind of missed it, but Jupiter does go back into Aries and will be in Aries through next May, so December 20th, right? So we have that window where it's like last call for Jupiter and Pisces magic for the next 12 years, and then Jupiter in Aries December 20th, and that's, you know, I believe the winter solstice is December 21st. We end the year with a Mercury retrograde. So we go into that new year energy with a Mercury retrograde in Capricorn. Mm-hmm. Just so people are thinking about, you know, if you are like a New Year's person and you like to make resolutions or, you know, with the new calendar year, like you might wait until after that Mercury retrograde to actually start that process for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a better energy for you to start new things.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And that is good to know. And Jupiter in Aries is not a bad time. I mean,
I like Jupiter in Aries too. I mean, Jupiter in Pisces is very like, you know, if Jupiter in Aries is belief in the self, Jupiter in Pisces is like belief in something larger, and it's much more like kind of cosmic spiritual transit. And then Jupiter in Aries seems very personal to me, very, very like proactive energy, you know, really lights a fire under you, and also gives you like a lot of optimism, but also a courage, I think, to actually achieve things, because Aries really is all about winning and achieving and marking those milestones. So,
Now that is an interesting combination of things, that is for sure. But Jupiter in Pisces will also be lovely for us all to enjoy for that brief window again.
Yeah.
Is there anything else to feel that you want to highlight for people? I know that the 6 months, you know, I mean, it's kind of hilarious because to say, well, the 6 months is going to be kind of rough. It's always a mix of all of these things in any chart, in any time period, whenever you happen to have been born, I'm sure. But
yeah, forecasting at the end of the world. I think that there are lots of ways to use these transits for positive things in your life. I think it's a more kind of introspective kind of fall. And just focusing on what you personally can control, what you personally can do, what you personally want to get out of it, and staying flexible for the things you can't control is all we can do, the best we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's excellent advice. As we wrap up, I wanted to just kind of make some space for you to tell us about some of the awesome projects that you have been working on, because you've been leading some things for people who are your clients and things of that nature related to a number of different astrological things. Could you tell us a little bit about that so that people know what you have coming up?
I just released a guide to lunar cycle planning, which is one of my favorite things to do with astrology, and also one of the most simple things to do with astrology if you're not like an expert in it, is just to set goals using the lunar cycles. And I like to set like a 1 year goal using 12 or 13 lunar cycles and planning it out that way, and then working with the energy of the moon. So the guide is all about how to set like achievable goals that actually work for you, and then how to break it down into these cycles and work with those cycles to get things done. And this is what I use when I'm planning things for my business, when I'm planning things for personal projects. So that is available on my website. And then I'm also leading a new round of the Venus Codes, which I just led this spring. It's my group coaching program where we work with Venus for love, pleasure, and abundance in our lives. And I really help people, I mean, I help people, Venus helps people open up to more self-love and more ease. So we're really releasing that perfectionism and people-pleasing kind of impulse, and opening up to more pleasure for ourselves, expanding that threshold. So it's been amazing watching clients go through that program, and I'm really excited to get started again. And I think when you release this podcast, people will still be able to enroll on my website if they're interested in that.
Sure.
And then I also have spots for one-on-one coaching clients, a few spots for one-on-one coaching, which can be 3 or 6 months with me doing the real inner work of working with your chart and helping you develop the confidence to take risks so you can achieve the dreams that you want to achieve. And I do that with astrology, but I also do it as a coach. And I offer readings too, if you just want an astrology reading to forecast what your 6 months is going to look like for you personally.
Well, I know that Daryl and I always look forward to our yearly chat with you to look ahead and to see what's going on in our charts. And that is very, very helpful. That's been very helpful for us. So I obviously, since you're on my show, I highly recommend you as an astrologer, and I recommend that people check out all the things that you mentioned. And I'm sure there will be other interesting things to come if you were listening to this, you know, later in the year. But yeah, that's really good. I think this has been a wonderful conversation. I look forward to it every time. And I will be going back. It's so funny because I have to go back and re-listen to the interview that I do with you so that I can make sure I got all the dates correct. So it's one of the few that I listen to my own voice to listen to, but you know, it's fine. is there anything else that we're missing that you want to leave people with? I like to have like a last little thought, that you could leave us with before we end.
I feel like my last little thought is just like, Jupiter's going back into Pisces. Yay. It's going to make things a little easier for the second half of the year, for that October through December part.
Wonderful. We can all look forward to that. And I think we have a lot to think with as we move forward. So thank you, Brittany. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, Joanna.
All right. I'll see you next time.
Thank you. Stars overhead, don't you dare guide me back to my bed. The river is frozen, the pollen pads bare. Don't wait for me, darling, there's thorns in my hair.